How's that start? What a fellowship, what a joy divine. Let's start, let's do it. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus Christ, my Savior, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus Christ, my Savior, leaning on the everlasting arms. There's a lady in our church growing up. Her name is Darlene, and she used to add the leaning on Jesus Christ, my Savior. I'd never heard that before. And I like adding that into that song, a beautiful song. Welcome. Good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. And we are looking forward to the day that the Lord has made for us to worship Him. When we came in this morning, it was still set on cool, and it was very cold in here. And so we have gotten the temperature up there so much that I'm getting really warm up here. So I hope you don't mind. I took my jacket off for Sunday school here because it was really getting warm up here. A lot of hot air up here. I don't know what's going on. I really like these tracks, and we haven't had them for a while. It's called the Tribulation Map, and it might be something you'd be interested in getting out of the track rack out there. Shows you some of the end times events and so forth, and very informative. I haven't looked at it in a number of years. I saw it recently. Actually, Mamie reminded me of them and said, yeah, I haven't seen these for a while, and so we reordered them. The Bartos did. And so you might want to grab one of these out of the tract rack. Also, this is our tract month, where we're encouraging everyone to try to hand out 5-7 tracts each week. And so there are many tracts out there. Actually, some of the tracts we're phasing out, and so that's somewhat why they're out there, just because we're trying to put in a new set of tracts and simplify our tract ministry a little bit. We sometimes have so many out there, it gets confusing to look at the board, and we want to simplify that a little bit. But there's some others that are for false religions that would show them the way to Christ and so forth, because we're not trusting in religion. Also on the wall out there, I have a couple of the cross puzzles that our men make, and you can take them along, and it has a tract in with it, and then a diagram of how to put the puzzle together. We are redesigning all of this and working with our men. For those that want to work with it, where it will actually have a QR code that will take them to a message on how to put the cross together and share the gospel with them at the same time. So just a little bit of information starting in Sunday school. Turn with me all the way to Genesis chapter 1. Would you go there with me? Genesis chapter 1. You know, as I think about creation and what we're told here in Genesis 1 and 2 about creation, really, I've concluded that it's not as much about creation as it is about God and how God created. And when you really understand how God created it, you can understand the nature and character of God better by considering how He created and what He created. There are some things that we talked about this a number of months ago, but there are a number of things that we can learn about God through creation. So when you look at Genesis 1 and 2, yes, it's about creation, but it's really about God who created. If you just conclude it's about creation and miss God, you've missed the main point. You've got a sub-point. So I want to talk to you today about creation. Everything is very good. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Father, as we now come to You, we're asking You for help. We've kind of maybe wrestled to even get here this morning. Maybe even didn't stop to even pray and ask You to deal with our hearts or to lead me or whatever it may have been. And so help us now to just kind of set apart life and the busyness of it, relationships and all of that, and just take a little bit of time to focus on who You are and what You want us to learn. And so guide in our study of Your creation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to show you a couple of things that we can learn about God from this chapter. And God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. So one of the things that we learn is God is very powerful. In that power, it doesn't mean that he has these really huge arms. But God merely has the ability to speak and something happens. Again, God is able to create out of nothing. It wasn't that God had a bunch of lumber on the ground and said, let there be an ark. And all of a sudden the lumber jumped up together and the nails came into it and fastened. There was an ark. No, it wasn't it at all. God could speak and say, let there be an ark. And out of nothing, he didn't even need trees. God could make an ark. Because God is able to make things out of nothing. So part of what I see is the power of God. I think 10 times in chapter 1 it says, and God said. And merely it's about what God said. In no part do you see God intricately weaving the hairs into an animal or placing the scales onto a fish. You know, some have said there's no way that God could create all of these things in 6 days, 24-hour days. He would need years to create all of this. Well, you're concluding that God is fairly small and God isn't able to do a lot and God has to hand do everything and doesn't have any helpers. But what if God could just merely speak? I mean, God could say, let there be fishes in the sea. He doesn't have to name every species and he could fill the sea. So God is really, really powerful. God is also really, really organized. You say, that don't mean a lot to me. Well, I know I've been in your garage before now. I don't need to go in your house. I just go to your garage or your shed and I can tell you if you're organized or not. But look at verse 11. I want to talk about how God is really, really precise for a little bit. By the way, God was organized, separated the light from the darkness and did other things. He made there to be seasons, the sun and the moon. He gave darkness and light. He allowed for days and weeks and months and years and all of that. God is very organized. God is really precise. And I love the beauty of these three verses beginning in verse number 11. Excuse me. And God said, now listen to this. Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. So God said, let the earth. Now he's allowing a chicken lays an egg. So what came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, biblically, I think it's a chicken, but anyway. God created, but notice it's the earth producing. So God has allowed the earth to have not only the ability to be ground, to be dirt, but he has the ability to produce things out of that dirt. And so he says, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Do you know the difference between grass, herbs, and fruit trees? Who can kind of give us a little bit of a lesson here? I don't want to put Ron on the spot, but Ron was a horticulture major in college. Ron and Ed both were, actually. But anybody know some of the differences? You don't have to tell me all the differences. What, Brother Tim? Okay, you got some annuals versus perennials. Somebody else? So, Marla. Okay, good. The speed in which they are produced. Very good, Brother Mike. He's getting us. I mean, all these things so far are true, very true. But how does grass reproduce? It divides. It splits. And it begins to spread. How do herbs reproduce? Seeds. Sends forth seeds. How do trees reproduce? Through a piece of the fruit than the seeds. Again, there's a seed concept there. With an herb, you have some options. With an herb, you can either eat it or use it to reproduce. With a fruit, you can do both. Unless you eat the seeds, but anyway. You can actually eat the fruit and plant the seeds. They're all different. It's a wonderful way in which God precisely has created, and He doesn't have everything reproducing, even of the plant kingdom, the same way. God has created, and this is something I actually had overlooked for years, really until about 1996. You say, well, how do you know 1996? Well, Ron remembers every date in the world. I don't know how he does it. But anyway, I remember that because I was getting ready to reproduce the church here. And Dr. Jessup was teaching on how churches are to reproduce. And he likened it unto this and likened it unto it. And so he said a church is kind of like a fruit tree. You can enjoy the fruit thereof, but also reproduce by it. So I thought it was an interesting illustration. And I'd never considered these verses together. So he goes on to say in verse number 12, and the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the fruit tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself. So again, he's getting us there. Sometimes though we read so quickly and don't think about what it's saying, we don't get it. And it reproduced after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. So again, God is very precise in how He has created. God is also all wise. Can you imagine creating all of these things and having them continue on now for approximately 6,000 years? I'll talk about that a little bit later, why I've come to that conclusion. But anyway, God is all wise. Now, what is the theological term that we would use in saying that God is all wise? He is, okay, omniscient. We have the omni words, and actually the dictionary says you're to produce it the omni words, but we would say omni what? Omni, you have omnipresent, which means God's everywhere. You have omnipotent, pronounced a little bit differently, meaning God is all-powerful. And so we've already concluded that because He merely speaks and brings things out of nothing. So we've learned already that God is omnipotent. And then we also learned that He is omniscient, meaning that He is all-knowing. In fact, the word itself has total knowledge. I thought about this. How many of you like writing, or you have actually authored something, an article, a book, whatever it might be? How many of you have actually authored something, a term paper? I don't care what it is, okay? A number of you actually have. Good to see your hands. We're looking for authors later. We got a snapshot of that through the cameras. No. But if you're ever looking to use that talent still, let us know. There are ways. An author knows completely what they've written. I mean, it has come from them. They know things that they didn't include. Let's say an author of a book. I don't know about you. I actually I used to read the Louis L'Amour books. He wrote about 123. I don't know. I don't remember the exact. Last I remember, I read 109 of them. Okay. So I knew them. But Louis L'Amour wrote in a fascinating way. Of course, the Westerns were the primary way he wrote. Wrote a few other books as well. But he would not only know what we know from reading it, he had a lot of other things he envisioned that you couldn't put in there, or you'd be making these small 118-page small books into 300, 400-page books by adding all the details. So a Louis L'Amour or someone like that would have really full knowledge, total knowledge of what they have written. They would write a book and fully understand it. How about a sculptor? You say, well, I know what the sculpture looks like, but do you understand all the details and why they're there? I mean, the sculptor understands exactly why he positioned it the way he did and why he has the head turned the way he did, or the arms, or the body parts, depending if it's an animal or whatever, the way they're... I mean, he knows everything behind that. A number of years ago, we were about to have our little Brian. And so I was remodeling a room. It used to be our master bedroom. It was in the back of a trailer. So it was the master suite was about 8x10. That's how it was in those days. But anyway, I was taking this master bedroom and we were changing it over into a nursery, and Karen's theme was rocking horses. And so I was putting in a new ceiling, drywall ceiling. I decided to texture the ceiling. If you walk into the room, you might not even notice the textured ceiling. If you notice the textured ceiling, let me ask you, did you notice that in the texture I put three rocking horses? I'm sure whoever lives there now never noticed the rocking horses. I still remember there are three. I remember where they're positioned in the room. I don't know why I did it. I guess just because I could. I don't know. It didn't add to the beauty of the room. I didn't go in and tell everybody to look for the rocking horses in the ceiling. I just did it. So not only did I, you know, everybody knew that I had textured the ceiling, but I knew some more things. God knows. God doesn't just know a book. God doesn't just know a ceiling. God knows everything. There is not a discussion that you could have in heaven that you would say to God, did you know? And I didn't know that. God knows absolutely everything. And you can conclude that merely by accepting creation. That God created this world. And so I really want to go back and just hammer that one thought. Please don't just try to learn about creation from Genesis 1 and 2. Learn about God. Because He is always the primary subject in everything we read in His Word. What it really hit me was verse 18. It didn't hit me because it's Mother's Day. But it can have a Mother's Day flair to it, I guess you might say. God saw in all that He was doing that it was not good that man should be alone. You know what God not only created as a powerful being, He actually cared. Do you ever know of a man who created a powerful business but really didn't care about the employees? You say, I'll work for one of them. They're out there. They created these powerful businesses, but they don't care about the intricate parts. They just care about the bottom line or maybe the product being produced. Do you know that God, with creating everything and intricately creating everything and uniquely creating everything, because not all animals eat the same, they don't all digest the same, and so forth. Oh, we could go on and on. He actually cared. He could have just used Adam as a zookeeper / gardener and just made him a slave for life. And you know what? It'd still be good. And God would still be holy. But He looked down and saw that there was no one for Adam. And God wanted to make him someone that was suitable for him. Isn't it interesting? God didn't ask Adam, what do you want? Wow, that could have gone bad. But God created a perfect match for him that was fitting, that would complete him, that was able to glorify God. And ultimately, think about this, in creation, God created something that would ultimately represent His relationship between He and the church. Who saw that coming? God did. God saw that something that He created in the days of creation, He would ultimately use one day to show the relationship between Christ and the church, or Christ and Christians. And He called it marriage. And He even gave special details for that marriage, that a man was to leave his father and mother before there even was a father and mother. God gave those orders. And they should cleave. By the way, when I counsel young couples, I say, how is the leaving going? You know, sometimes as they're leaving father and mother, oh, still get some phone calls from, you know, parents and telling us to do this and that. I said, how do you like it? They don't like it. I said, well, just remember that when your kids leave. By the way, parents, let go. They are now their own family unit. I am not speaking to anybody in this room. I don't have anybody in particular in this room in mind at all. But I find it interesting sometimes we have trouble letting go. They now can make their own decisions. They are their own family unit. But anyway, so let's go forward. So God is this incredible designer who cares about everything. Quick analogy, I thought of Christ going to the cross. He didn't get caught up in the details of the cross. He even cared about somebody hanging on the tree next to him. One of the malefactors. In fact, he cared about them all. Father, what? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. By the way, an interesting study, do the seven sayings from the cross, and you'll see sometimes he calls him God and sometimes he calls him Father. Interesting study to see the differences in those statements being made there. I digress. I must go forward. I'm trying to reset a little bit our series on creation. The reason I'm resetting, I wanted to call it Creation Reset, and I thought, well, they'll think I'm a gap theorist if I do that, so I better not do that. The last time I spoke to you on creation was, do you know the date? It was February 20th of this year. So we got, we went from there to someone speaking, because we had our, sportsman's dinner. We had someone speaking. Then we had a month on, the ministry of getting paper out and, Bible publishing month for, was the month of March. And then we had a guest speaker, and then we got into with the missions conference. And then coming off the missions conference, we had another guest speaker. And then I was away a week, which is very, very rare for that to happen. And so here we are. We are looking at 3 months later. And so I thought I ought to reset because there's some people here today, other than Herman and Janie that are here back visiting with us. Haven't seen them for a couple of years. And there are a couple of people visiting with us, a couple of people that weren't part of that series. And I just wanted to reset a couple of things. I would say of what we believe in general as fundamentalist or Bible-believing Christians. I'm not trying to say that we believe this because we're Baptist or we believe this because we're fundamentalists. We believe this so they categorize us in those terms. We believe that God created the heaven and the earth. We would believe that God did this. Listen to Ecclesiastes 3:11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that they can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. That is a super interesting and full of theology verse. But it says, he has made everything beautiful in his time. I believe that. Do you? It's all a belief system. No matter what you think, it's based on what you believe. So if you think that creation is true, then you must believe God didn't create. And you also have to conclude this, then God's word is not correct. So if you can't accept Genesis 1 and 2, you can't accept the rest of it. So it really puts you on difficult ground, especially if you claim to be a Christian, to say, well, I believe in God's word. I just don't know that the world came about. It really, really puts you on shaky ground and hollow ground, may I say it that way. Not hollowed as in holy, but hollow as in it will fall away from you. Understand this truth. You can't understand everything about what God created, everything that God created, but you can understand God through what He created. Think about this. None of us will fully understand creation. fact, there are scientists, good and bad, and I only say that on believing and unbelieving. I should say it that way. There are scientists today, believing and unbelieving, still trying to figure things out. How about the appendix? Now, they got it figured out, right? But when I was a child, they still hadn't figured it out. Do you know it was just over 100, probably now 150 years, I'm getting older. Funny, Mom, I'm not picking on you. Mom, of course not. You're so sweet and kind and tender and loving, and we could never pick on you. But Mom would always say, well, the doctor told me I have 17-year-old ears. And Mom recently said, that was a lot of years ago he told me that. So Mom still has very good hearing, so watch what you say about her. And if she hears you and tells me, you're in trouble, okay? No. But God, where was I? Where was I going? Brain lapse. Appendix. The heart. I moved, Ted, from the appendix to the heart. 150 years ago, they didn't know what the heart did. Can you imagine that? That can't be right. Go look it up. They still were not fully understand. Why do you think our first president died? Because he didn't fully understand even the working of the heart. So we don't understand everything about creation, but we can begin to know God through His creation. So, does everybody accept it? Does everybody believe it? Or do some reject it? By the way, I believe that God created. I believe that God created in literal days of creation. An evening and a morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. I do not believe they to be spanses of years, and I'll talk about that briefly in a little bit. I have about 7 minutes left. So we would believe that God created on literal days of creation. Look at Genesis 1:31. I'll read one other verse. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Kind of like to cap it off. God had seen everything that He had created. It now came to the sixth day. Every day was made up of what? An evening and a morning. And that is how God created. And so when He got to the sixth day, He saw that everything that He had made was very good. Listen to what it says in the book of Exodus. For in 6 days the Lord had made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh. So we would believe it to be literal days of creation. Again, you say, how is that possible? When you think of all the species, and when you think of all the mammals, and you think of all the fish and all the birds, again, God did not have to speak everything. They weren't even named at that point. Adam gave them names, so it's not like God had to say, you know, now let's create a sparrow, and now let's create an eagle, and let's create and go on and on. God was able to just merely maybe speak in groups, or maybe totally, let there be birds. And it was so. Remember, He's all-powerful and all-wise. And so God could speak, and it was merely created. I would think everybody would believe it and accept it, right? God said it. That settles it. That's not true. There are those that accept it. I put go to Hebrews chapter 11 with me. I want to have you go ahead and turn there. And you have to come to this conclusion. By the way, I don't think this is the number one thing we ought to be arguing over. I think we can use creation as a tool to get people to Jesus Christ. There are ministries that have done so. There are men that have done so. There are women that have done so. They've used someone's belief about creation or evolution and begun to prick their minds, and which ultimately pricked their conscience, and they became born-again Christians. We've had Brother Martin here in the past. He was basically, before that, an atheist, a dentist for the president on Air Force One, a teacher in dentistry school, and in the School of Science down in Texas. And one of his students challenged him to read God's Word and to consider some things. His book is in his testimony is in his book. He puts the testimony in there how he came to Christ. It was through reading about creation and how God created and so forth that brought him to Christ. So I don't want you to, though, to, if somebody says, I believe in evolution, begin to jump all over them and debate them. They can believe in creation and still go to hell. So the primary argument you need to work toward and settle is their belief in God. I love the discussions of creation. I don't mind mixing it in with evolution and having a talk with someone about that. But be very careful, because they very often are not even seeing God. See, we can talk about creation without revealing God, just like they can talk about evolution, not reveal Satan. So you've got to be really careful. But I have believed in God, therefore accepted creation. I didn't accept creation first and therefore believe in God, though I think sometimes it may come that way. I actually believed God and then believed everything He's written and then accepted what He's told us about creation. Look at Hebrews 11, verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. This is going to go on, reveal more information, but the things that were made of things which do not yet appear and so forth. This is fabulous, because it's faith alone that will bring us to a belief ultimately then in God created the heaven and the earth. And so the heavens declare the glory of the God, and the earth showeth forth His handiwork, according to Psalm 19. Now, there are others that reject it. I'm going to talk just briefly from Romans 1, if you want to turn there. There are others that have rejected that. They've rejected God revealing Himself through creation. I believe God begins to draw people initially through creation. Then He does so through the work of the Holy Spirit. He does through the life of His Son. And He does through, of course, through the Word of God. Now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. found later in Romans. But look at Romans 1:20 if you have turned. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Wow. Invisible things clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. So it's through faith. Through faith we clearly see. I clearly see creation, though I don't understand it. And I've never seen it created. But I believe it and therefore understand it. Even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And people come through viewing this creation that there is an ultimate, all-knowing, all-powerful God that has created this. I believe people suppress that. I don't believe there are any natural atheists. I think they're all progressive atheists. I don't believe there are any true atheists, completely true atheists. I believe they lie to themselves. They try to deceive themselves. They try to deny. But I think in their heart of hearts, their conscience has pricked them over and over that there is a God. But then there are those people that have, and I have corrupt or changed it. This, I think, is actually the most dangerous. Because they don't reject God, but they twist what God has done in hopes that, I don't know how I want to say this. But what they're doing is taking, I think what they're in hopes of doing is they don't really have an answer for evolution, so they try to somewhat blend some of the thoughts together. Like when you're reading your Bible, if you got to Genesis 1, 1 and 2, not everyone reading it would conclude, wow, there's a big gap between there. In fact, the gap's billions of years. Well, number one, who told you it was a gap? And number two, who told you it was billions of years? But there are people reading God's Word that have not yet fully understood, and so they've squeezed a gap in there and made that gap to be really big. Other people have said, you know, a day is like 1,000 years with God, and 1,000 years are like a day. So this is what they've concluded. One day in Genesis 1 equals 1,000 years equals billions and billions of years. Because this is really interesting as I die up here. By the way, don't worry, if I do die, I know where I'm going, and I'll be happy and you'll be sad, but anyway. Well, some of you will be sad, but anyway. Isn't it interesting they go to one day equals 1,000 years to billions and billions of years? Where's that leap? They think we're crazy? But sadly, that's a majority. The majority believing that are Christians. It's not a majority of Christians. Don't understand me as saying that. But a majority of the people that believe in the day-age theory are Christians. That believe that one day equals 1,000 years equals billions and billions of years. The other one is then theistic evolution, and I am going to look at that next week, and it's time for me to go. So let's have a closing word of prayer. There is so much more I could say. I hope this has kind of reset where we are and where we're going. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe what you've said. Help us to trust you even more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.